in it.
Georgia put it in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this Tuesday afternoon. The sun's out for a minute here. Hi, and welcome. You're listening to The Klatch on KVSH 101.9 FM, Vashon Island, Washington. We're live in the studio here in downtown, so if you drive by or walk by, wave to us. We'll wave back. In the studio, I'm Linda Nygaard. Did I already say that?
No.
Okay, I'm Linda Nygaard. With me in the studio today are Susan McCabe.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. And Ms. Tina Shetta.
Hello.
Hi, Tina. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Tina is our special guest and special co-host. We didn't tell her she was going to be a co-host.
I'm a co-host, so
you're
too.
You're a co-host. Yeah, you just got elevated.
Who knew?
Who knew?
You'll get paid just what we do.
Okay, yeah. Great.
And it'll
fantastic.
Work out fine.
Yeah.
Tina's going to fill us in a little bit later on her personal and professional journey toward where she is right now, which is pretty exciting. And I'm just going to let her tell you. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. So normally we do a COVID check-in at the beginning to see where we are with that. And I haven't done any research on it lately. I know that it's still there. And personally, I know three people who just got over it and one almost died.
You know, wow. And that I have a totally contrasting view right now because I went into Granny's last week and all the plastic was down.
Yeah.
All and the masks were optional.
And the masks were optional.
Right. I put one on anyway just because that's how I've been trained.
I know. I walked in with my mask and I was the only one.
Right.
I don't know.
And I noticed it at... At the pharmacy, it doesn't say wear a mask to get
it doesn't anymore.
Seriously?
I know.
Oh, I did not know that.
Well, you have to wear a mask if you're getting prescriptions.
No. That's changed
now. Still?
That sign is gone.
Oh. Wow. I didn't know that.
So, wow. So people are still getting it and some are almost dying. I know two people who have it right now, but they're okay.
Yeah. They probably were vaccinated.
Yes. And
you know,
boosted.
And these
all
people
that,
were vaccinated that I know too. Right. So. Anyway, I don't know what's going on Vashon with regard to new cases or old cases or any of that. But
so I guess COVID is optional.
It appears to be. Mm-hmm. I'm still wearing a mask most of the time.
I just don't go anywhere.
I think that's
oh, Tina, that's a
the
perfect,
safest route.
It is.
Yes.
It is. Just don't go anywhere.
I have a 10-minute limit in any place.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be safe for 10 minutes.
You know, the grocery store is a challenge because nobody wears a mask in there. I mean, I see a few,
some do,
a few masks, but for the most part, no. And yet you can't get in and out of there in 10 minutes because it's a social engagement when you go to the grocery store.
Well, so, especially now, you think, right?
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. And people are just coming out again and experiencing life without a mask.
Or just experiencing life, actually, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, our median age here is, what, 55? So we've got lots of older folks who really have not done a lot in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I really haven't.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think most of us haven't.
Yeah. We just kind of stayed home. Well, at least we weren't in lockdown for that long.
No.
You know, but anyway, that's kind of the COVID checkup. Anybody else got anything to say?
No. I'm kind of glad it's taking a back seat.
Yeah, I am too. And, you know, Tina, I don't know if you know this or not, but we started this show as a COVID remedy.
Oh.
For women gathering and being able to talk over a cup of coffee. So
that's fantastic.
We often did Zoom coffees.
Yeah.
And then one day I thought, gosh, why don't we do a radio show that's like a coffee clutch? Because
I
know there are other women out there who are looking for somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
Or in our case, to listen to.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. For
all of our foibles.
And yes. And making the premise of the whole thing is no holds barred conversation.
Right. And community connection for people who really needed it.
Right.
You know, who felt like they needed to have some sort of connection to somebody
to
else.
To something.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't do Zoom. You know, that we do.
I do Zoom not believe.
Yeah,
I do Zoom more than I want to.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Yes.
I'm kind of zoomed out. But,
me too.
But it certainly does feel a really great need for
it
sure.
It certainly does.
And from an environmental perspective, it's saving a whole lot of gas.
Absolutely. and connects us.
I was thinking about
everywhere.
That the other day. Remember in the beginning when we were all locked down and we didn't know, we thought the world was ending and we didn't know what was going to happen? How the air cleared up and the streams cleared up and the birds came back.
Yep.
It took so little time for that to turn around.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Why don't we have a lockdown week once a year for our environment?
Well, we might because, you know, it will just continue to morph and this virus will stay with us and...
And change.
Mm-hmm. And there will be new ones. So this is not the first time. It might be the first and only time we do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My sense is that the next time a big major virus comes around, that we know that we won't get the people that need to... Be safe.
Right.
So we'll just really kind of start like a year into what we did before.
Right. And we have more knowledge.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And there's lots of people who still believe that it was just like a cold or the flu. So
Right.
You know.
Well, I know somebody who does not live on Vashon, but whose name I'm not going to use anyway, who said she got COVID last week really bad and she was so, so sick. And I said, well, you're not vaccinated. And she said, well, I'm not going to get vaccinated. And I said, well, we're on the phone. I don't see her. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I took some ivermectin and I think that helped. I said, okay.
Whatever floats your boat. Yeah. I think sometimes.
Horse medicine? Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the beauty is we all get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. What we don't get to do is choose for people who are at risk, who are just kind of in the community with us.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So onward, I'm delighted that the sun is shining. We haven't had sun on Vashon for what seems like months. It's still cold outside, but it's...
I don't care.
It
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. There's sun out there.
It's sun. Yeah. That strange yellow orb in the sky.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at some trees the other day. I was standing on a porch and looking at these incredibly gorgeous evergreens that we have here on Vashon, everywhere we look. And I thought about the trees in the springtime. They're sort of waving in the breeze. You know, it was raining. It was kind of awful. And they were dancing in the breeze. Mm-hmm. Susan was talking about some trees that were dancing too. Mm-hmm. And I thought about the trees and what they bring to us and how lucky we are to live on Vashon and have so many beautiful specimens to investigate. And I thought to myself, you know, these trees made us a promise. They make us a promise every year. And the promise is they're going to protect us. They're going to offer us shelter. They're going to help us breathe. They're going to give us beautiful things to look at. They offer homes for the birds and the squirrels. They are our sentinels, if you will. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to talk a little bit about trees? Because I know both of you are tree fans, and I am too. I just don't know enough about them, and now I wish we had Hans Youngman here to talk about trees, and maybe we'll do that later, because he's like the tree god.
He is. He's the tree guy, the Vashon tree guy for sure.
But Susan, you have an interesting tree.
We do. Han came to our house to include our to check up on our tree, because I think he'd already cataloged it long before we got there.
but he
was there to check up on its condition. And it's one of the tallest and oldest trees on the island. Mm-hmm. It's older than both my husband and I put together. And that's not young. But
well, that must be almost 50.
right. And it's a big, gorgeous, I think it's a Doug fir, but it's got legs at the bottom that are that make a little place where particularly our grandchildren have enjoyed going inside. You can go inside this tree and commune with it.
Oh.
It's really cool.
You know what we call those around my house?
What?
Totoro trees.
What?
Totoro?
Totoro trees.
Totoro?
What does that mean?
I don't know what Totoro means.
Oh, I think you probably not your thing. It's their Miyazaki movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and trees are special, environment special to him.
Wow.
Yeah, to that
movie
maker.
Oh, I better investigate that. No, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, Totoro.
I love the name.
Yeah.
I love to say it the way it rolls off your...
Yeah.
Speaking of words...
I have to write that down.
Please do. Do you want her to spell it?
Because I have a Totoro tree.
You do.
Is it spelled like it sounds?
It sure is.
Okay.
So how about the word nemophilus?
I beg your pardon?
Nemophilist. Nemophilist. It means lover of trees. And it came across my, you know, I get this thing every now and then that gives me new words that I might like to try. And this one means, oh, one who loves forests. And it came from the Greek, meaning nemos means grove or woods, the forest. And philist, of course, is love. So
what's a philistine? Sorry.
Did you hear dead silence?
I just threw you off track.
Wait a second.
Philistine must be a lover.
Well, I thought they were bad people.
Yeah, I kind of thought so, too.
You Philistine, okay. Isn't that? Well, you better look that up, too.
I'm looking that up.
Go ahead. And we'll continue talking. One thing I found out about trees, this is not a Vashon tree story, but a Minnesota tree story, in that in the north central part of Minnesota, there is a forest of 300-year-old trees, which have up to this point been referred to as the Lost 40, and they survived the Lumberjack's Axe because the map maker made a mistake. So these trees, there's, I don't know how many, 144 acres.
Wow.
Of them.
Whoa.
That's a
decent
size.
So it's big.
Yeah.
But still, they say it's an overlooked part of the Chippewa National Forest, which is 660,000 acres.
Oh, wow.
Because on maps, it says it's underwater. And it's not underwater. So what happened was, back in the heyday of lumberjacking in Minnesota, which was, you know, when the railroads were coming and the
20s?
Wood was coming. No, before that, in the
1800s.
1890s? Early 1800s is when it started.
Wow.
And then like 1850, 1890, it was really, really going. Mm-hmm. And they were decimating those forests up there. And this guy made a mistake that saved all those trees. And what they talk about is the craggy bark and the dizzying heights. They're 300 feet tall. So they're like the redwoods. And, you know, he made a terrible mistake, but it turned out to benefit all of us. I mean, the loggers don't look at it that way, but we do.
And Nana, you know, Nana Boo Boo.
Yeah, and there were so many timber barons in Minnesota during those years. Huge. I went to did some tours of the barons, the lumber barons' homes from the 1800s in St. Paul.
There are some of those in Tacoma.
Yes, there are.
Say, yeah.
And they're very similar. I do have to say that the ones in Minnesota are bigger and grander even than the, and
wow.
this is some of the biggest, grandest mansions I've seen in Tacoma. But Minnesota puts it to shame. They're just unbelievable. And of course they're, you know, filled with gorgeous woods from all over the world.
Yeah. I love it when white men make mistakes.
I do too. And I think we can thank alcoholism for this one.
Well, alcoholism, and he did some other sort of dastardly things. I think he died with not a very good reputation. But anyway.
But he left a great legacy.
He did. He did.
Not on purpose. Not,
right.
No.
But yes, we'll take it.
Accidental
right.
legacy. Yes.
Accidental legacy. It wasn't, just to follow up on this story, it wasn't until the 1960s that anybody figured out that was a mistake. So it's hard to imagine that for 100 years, everybody thought that place was underwater.
So I love that.
That is, I love that too. It's wonderful.
Awesome.
So what? They didn't start cutting it down.
No.
It's preserved.
It's
right?
preserved.
That's
it's
good.
A preserve
That's
now.
Good.
It's a Chippewa National Forest.
Makes me
so,
want to go and
I
like touch
go
those
too.
Trees.
Yeah, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Get in between them.
Have you ever visited the redwoods?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's a religious experience.
It is.
Yeah. And I've hugged many a tree in there.
It truly is a religious experience.
Do you want to know what a Philistine is?
Did you look it up?
I looked it up.
Yes. What is it?
A person who is hostile or indifferent to culture, such as the arts.
Oh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But then...
How does that...
We'll have to do some... What do they call it? Entomology?
Sure.
Etymology.
Entomology.
Entom is bugs, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. That's a whole different subject.
We'll do that next week.
What about those ants, right?
Oh, I had one in my kitchen. Yeah. So anyway, there's that. And I just thought that was really, really interesting to learn that, you know, we can go to the forest And rejoice from mistakes.
And yes, and we preserve our forests strictly by accident.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And then this has nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
But I have to tell you that in England, this is brand new.
Okay.
Wet wipes that contain plastic are set to be banned.
Oh. Thank
and
God.
That Good. Covers 90%.
Of the
of
wet wipes,
wipes mm-hmm. have plastic in them. And yep. England's going to ban them.
Good.
Now. It's Good. In the works. They're going to do it. So I just thought that was really, really interesting and hopeful.
Yes.
And maybe we can pattern ourselves after that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wet wipes that are here in the studio.
Clorox
wet wipes. It says what the ingredients are, but you got me as to what
like
that
what does
actually
that mean?
Means.
Right.
Yeah.
It means plastic.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, just sort of tangentially related to trees. I was listening to a talk show. I don't know if it was KUOW or where it was, but it was a Seattle station. I was listening to some people talk about the Audubon Society. And I love the birds and I love the Audubon Society. And the Audubon Society in Seattle has changed its name. And its name now is Birds Connect Seattle. What do you think?
It's an interesting soundbite, right?
Birds Connect Seattle.
It really is kind of, I don't want to say dumbed down because that's mm-hmm. not the right phrase for people, younger people and how they talk now.
Well, this is just so interesting because, you know, Audubon was not a pillar of society in that he was a racist right. and a sexist.
Right.
And this is why they're doing it, is because they believe they shouldn't honor his name.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads us to a whole other discussion, which we've had before, about movie makers, their art, and who they are as the people.
Right.
This is the same thing with the Audubon. I don't know. I'd be hesitant to disconnect. But, Tina, like you said earlier, probably people under 40 don't know who Audubon is.
Right. They don't. That's not connected to anything for them at all because they're just far enough away from it that their parents,
mm-hmm.
I know who Audubon
sure,
is because
sure.
my parents are in their 90s. But my kids probably have no idea what Audubon is.
You know, my only objection to that as a person who's in the field of public relations is that they really should have done a branding campaign.
Yes, they should have.
That, yeah. Because what they've got is something that really doesn't say anything. First of all, birds do not connect Seattle.
Right.
To what? I mean,
right.
you could go down a whole rabbit hole with this.
Yeah.
But from a strictly a communications perspective, mm-hmm. that name doesn't say a thing about what they do.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing, because Audubon Society, you automatically know, and really what it could have taken an educational component.
Right.
And kept the same name. I guess I'm old fashioned, but yeah. I really love what Audubon has done. I'm sorry he was a racist and a sexist. I mm-hmm. wish he weren't that mm-hmm. or hadn't been that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you think about all those, through the years, all those beautiful portraits of birds from all over the world.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like a real lost opportunity.
It does.
To re-educate people who know who the Audubon Society was or is, and to engage people who were under 50 in preservation
mm-hmm. yes.
and the importance
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they're going to do, you know, are they going to do like a little social media campaign?
Right.
Maybe, who knows?
And
what is, so what is their mission? Has that changed from,
right.
it's the mission of the Audubon Society that really matters.
Well, it's the
it's
mission.
It's not
yes.
the man.
Right.
It's, you know, it's yeah. just like
Doesn't
Kleenex.
Doesn't Jim Deere's wife run the Audubon on Vashon?
Mm-hmm.
We should have her
so.
In and talk
yeah.
to her about that.
Yeah, that's yeah. interesting.
It'd be really interesting.
Yeah. It would be really interesting. Yeah,
speaking of photographs, oh my God, that
right?
man and his photographs.
I know, right?
Even
really.
If you just called it All About Birds. Or, you
or
know,
anything
that says, here's what the mission is, that mm-hmm. this is...
You know, this is a terrible confession, and I'll just do it live on air.
Oh my God, folks, tune in.
The first thing I thought of when I heard that Birds Connect Seattle was pigeon poop. It is. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing I thought about.
Yeah.
And then I read an article by, I want to give you his name, her name, Naomi Ishisaka? And she was talking to a bird watcher who's black.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how bird watching while black can be
dangerous.
Dangerous, yes, for sure. Right. And he said he didn't know much about John James Audubon. He didn't know about his racist background. But he didn't know that his feathered friends would now be fraught with racism. You know, he said it's just unnecessary, you know.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the other thing I wanted to tell you.
Welcome to the age of overthinking.
Right.
Everything. Oh, that's an interesting opinion, or what am I, vision, view.
Observation.
Point. Thank you.
Well, the pendulum has swung, right? And so we overthink. Mm-hmm. We try to be overly cautious about the words that we use.
Yes.
And in some cases, it's very much what we should be doing. In some cases, it prevents us from connecting in conversation in real and authentic ways. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll get back to something that's somewhere in between, maybe.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Yeah, I
maybe
think
not,
it would be helpful to listen to one another and to try and forgive or even just discuss. I think what you're recognizing, Tina, is that we're realizing the impact of the words that we use.
Right, and words do matter.
And they do matter. Sure. It isn't, you know, the sticks and stones will break your bones, so will the words.
Yeah.
They'll break your heart.
But if we could come at it maybe at some point with a little bit more open-heartedness,
maybe
we can read between what we're trying to say, and those of us who are older, who don't have as much of the language that people are using right now that's current, right?
You know, I am so thankful that I have a 22-year-old granddaughter.
Yes, it helps, and doesn't it?
I really am, because I can say, what does this mean? Or what did she mean when she said that? Or any sort of questions about any kind of gender or political realm, any of that stuff. They have a new way of thinking.
They do.
And some of it is pretty astute.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah. I have a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old. So I get it
from
I get a lot of it, and I get corrected a lot, which is great.
That's good.
Oh my God, all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
And we don't even know. It's like sometimes, I mean, I'm old. And I say this word, and people, you know, a young person will go, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Just keep trying.
Yep.
Right. And I think we need to forgive each other a little bit.
We do.
Know?
Yeah.
Be willing to, the open-hearted thing, be willing to accept that everybody's trying.
Right.
We're really trying. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to hurt you, unless you're Republican.
Right.
Then I would slap you.
Right. Well, I think part of it is being clear about what the standards are, so we know what we're supposed to be doing, depending on where we're at, and then communicating what those are, and then being open-hearted about when people make mistakes, because it's bound to happen.
I don't care what situation you're talking about. I think I can say this. There's a lot of gray area in most things.
Sure.
That you're
absolutely,
even cultural, even society. There are gray areas. And when I step into that gray area and make a faux pas, I'm glad that I can be forgiven and learn something from it.
And corrected.
Yeah. And corrected.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Which I learned something.
Well,
so.
And part of our gray area is based on our age, our culture experience, our own personal experience, what kind of baggage we have, what trauma we've been through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All of that stuff.
Education.
Kind of education, the work we've done, everything.
Keneally says, the ground of your making.
Absolutely.
I mean, even where you were born.
Absolutely.
Even if you haven't been there for 60 years.
It's part of your fiber.
It is.
For sure.
Part of your fiber.
You know, one of the things... Of course, this is a pet peeve that I have around this, and it is about the younger generation in some colleges that takes this language sensitivity to the extreme when they do not allow people who have different perspectives to come and speak at their institution because they don't want to be offended.
Right.
By someone else's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's dangerous.
It's very
extremely dangerous, especially in institutions of higher learning where you are supposed to be exploring different perspectives. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be learning about how other people see things, how other people practice life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start shutting that off, even if you're calling it consideration, if you're calling it sensitivity, you're you're blocking off your ability to think critically.
And you're closing off your heart to possibility.
Well, yeah.
Really. I mean, I do have people that I vehemently disagree with politically. Yeah. Vehemently disagree, but I can have conversations with them. We pretty much stay away from the hardcore politics of like the latest scandal or the latest bill passing or whatever, but there are places in there where we agree on.
I think most of us do.
We do.
And we agree more than we disagree.
Why does it become such a
If we're far left or far right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The farthest of both, left and right, can't disagree. But most of us are somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that polarization is not helping us.
No, it sure isn't. Can I go back to trees for a minute?
Yes.
I forgot something. I'm just really enamored this spring with the trees. I really am. Does the name Leonard Peltier ring a bell to either one of you?
Well, it does, in part because you brought it up before we came.
That would be a no for me.
Okay. Okay. Leonard Peltier was a Native American activist in the 70s. And in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, there was an uprising similar to Wounded Knee, at Wounded Knee, actually. And there were some deaths, murders. Feds were there. Soldiers were there. It was pretty terrible. And many Natives were murdered. And some federal agents. I don't know how many. Mm-hmm. But Leonard Peltier was accused of killing one of them. And he had two or three co-defendants that were accused of the same thing. And when they put him in prison, they segregated him from everybody else for some reason. I don't know all the details, but he's been in prison now since, I don't know the date. It's been years and years and years and years, and he's grown to be an old man. He was a young man when they put him in there. And he's had lots of voices through the years for his release, and he's got a huge support group, and people are speaking in Congress and writing letters and trying to get him out of there. He's old. He's in a wheelchair now. And he's never said I'm guilty or I'm sorry, because he's maintained his innocence, which some people think keeps him from enjoying parole, because you have to admit your guilt. So he won't do that. So he wrote a letter to some of his supporters. He's not giving up really, but he's recognizing that he's probably going to live his days in prison. So he talked about how living in prison year after year after year changes the way you think. It changes the way you process time, how you process sleep even. He said it's all different. Your whole life changes. And he says, I quote, "We have had to live," meaning we Native Americans, "have had to live in a state of survival ever since Columbus landed. There is nothing about my case, nothing about the Constitution, which is a treaty between the American people and the government, that warrants my continual imprisonment." He signed his message off with a request, quote, "From my heart to yours, please plant a tree for me."
For seven generations in the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I just would like to offer that out there to all of you who are thinking of springtime and what we're doing and rejuvenation and our world as we know and can improve upon. Plant a tree for Leonard.
Done.
Thank you. It means a lot.
That's great. I like that. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. I'm off my soapbox now.
Come on.
Oh, there's much more. You
there's
know,
there so is. Many, so many things on top of that soapbox.
Thank you, Susan. I take that as a compliment.
It is. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So, Tina.
Yes.
Oh, wait. What? You got something else?
We need to hear from our underwriters.
Oh, those people. Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we couldn't live without them.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Minglement, Vashon Island's natural marketplace for the conscious consumer, where owners, staff, and customers alike embrace the importance of natural, organic, and non-GMO food and products, along with supplements, tinctures, gifts, bulk teas, spices, and herbs. Find them at Center, where the town of Vashon originated.
VOV programming support is provided by Pandora's Box, Vashon Island's provider of quality pet foods at competitive prices. With over 100 years of combined knowledge and experience in pet care and pet nutrition, you'll find Pandora's Box on Vashon Highway, north of the main intersection.
Thank you. Thank you, underwriters. We do love you.
Yes, we do.
We need you.
We do.
So, Tina Shattuck.
Hi.
Let's have a chat.
Yes.
I'd love to. It's so nice to have you here in the studio with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really glad you're here. It's going to be fun.
Me too.
For those of you who don't know, Tina is executive director of a place called
Mukai Farm and Garden. It took me almost a year to get the pronunciation of Mukai right.
Mukai.
Right, because
we say Mukai.
It's a Japanese name. It's actually Mukai.
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 Yeah. Mukai. So it's a littler U.
Yeah.
Mukai. Mukai. Is that right?
Mukai.
Mukai. Yeah. Love that. So she's now the executive director.
Actually,
you're done.
I'm done.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
Well, I was Mukai's very first ED, which was so exciting.
Let's talk a little bit about what Mukai is.
Oh, Mukai.
Some people don't know.
It's a very special place. Yes. It is a farm and garden on Vashon that was founded by B.D. Mukai, I think you pronounce his first name Denshiro.
Okay.
But BD for short, in the 20s. Mm-hmm. He came here. He got to, I think, Seattle from Japan in 1909, came out to Vashon in the early 20s, and founded probably one of the most successful strawberry barreling pre-war World War II farms in the country.
It's my understanding that Vashon as a whole was one of the world's largest suppliers of strawberries.
A very specific kind of strawberry. It was the Marshall strawberry.
The Marshall strawberry, mm-hmm. Yes.
Which really is not in favor anymore. And if you want Marshalls, you have to buy them from very specific places.
Oh, okay.
And you can get them from the seed repository in Corvallis and maybe two or three different places, and that's it.
Wow.
And grow your own.
You can grow your own. I have a backyard. Marshalls. That's what they're kind of called, is backyard Marshalls. We'd love to propagate them again. Mm-hmm. Matsuda has some Marshalls, which is really awesome. So they're a great Japanese farm, too. But B.D. Mukai and then his son Masa after him, who ran the farm, they were probably considered one of the most successful Japanese immigrant families pre-World War II. Mm-hmm. And they there were 111... I think Bruce Hallman will kill me if I get it wrong, but I might. There were 111 Japanese individuals who were taken away or who lived on Vashon, who were exiled, who were taken to prisons. Mm-hmm. And they called them something else, but we all know what they were.
Yeah, right. Yes.
The Mukais were one of the 33 individuals who were able to return of the 111 that left.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Most of the farms... They didn't make it.
Yeah.
The Mukai farm did.
Were the Mukais the people who didn't actually go to a concentration camp? They left and went to Idaho?
They did. So Masa was at the UW and he was in the ROTC program. And so he knew some people. They got a little tiny bit more warning, maybe another week or two before EO, Executive Order 9044. And so they were actually able to self-exile because the requirement was that you had to be outside of the exclusion zone and you had to go to family. So BD's second wife or third, no, Masa's wife, I think had family in Dead Ox Flats, Oregon. So that was outside of the exclusion zone. So they got
Dead Ox Flats.
Right. I don't, you know, he did a lot of ag there during the war and came back. He had somebody on Vashon who ran his farm, and he came back to a working farm and got to, you know, come back and be successful.
So fast forward to the future.
Yes.
And we, Vashon, tell me how Mukai became a nonprofit.
Mukai became a nonprofit, I think, in the 90s through another nonprofit organization that nobody really wants to ever talk about because it was pretty controversial.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
But 10 years ago, so 11 years ago this year, so this is 2023, so 2022, 2002, Friends of Mukai formed, got control of the property,
and spent, well, it took them a long time to get control of the property.
I know it did.
But it was, as a nonprofit that was purchased with King County money, it was supposed to be, you know, there's some requirements. You have to be open. You have to, you know, all that stuff. And so they were able to, after quite a bit of money raised, quite a bit of time donated by a lot of pretty amazing people, able to get control and then spend a lot of time and money fixing it up.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
And for those of you who don't know Mackay Gardens, Farm and Gardens.
Mackay Farm and Gardens, yeah.
I would highly suggest, even if you're not on Vashon, come over.
You should.
Because it's just an incredibly beautiful place. I've been there many times, and I like to go there early in the morning. You can go anytime you want to, and it's free. And you can walk around, and there's a pond, and there are birds, and there are flowers,
it's
and it's just beautiful. And I go early in the morning. Nobody's there. There's a beautiful walk down the lane. You can walk back. It's just beautiful. And, you know, send them some money.
Yeah,
absolutely. Send them some money. They're doing a beautiful job of restoration. So you have vacated the ED seat.
I have. I was really lucky enough to be the first ED. And my job as executive director was pretty non-traditional. My job was really for us as an organization to really sort of do outreach and community engagement. So people knew who we were, because
I've also seen you cleaning up pots and cleaning up tables with those too. So
I've done that too. I've done bathrooms. I've done it all. But, but really it was about community engagement.
Right.
And because when I would talk about Mackay, they would be like, oh, you mean that farm that's right by Minglement? And I'm like, no, that's Matsuda.
That's Matsuda. Yeah.
And so there are differences. And so I think people were really just confused for a long time. So my job really was to make sure that we were on the map. And so I spent the last couple, 2.5 years doing a lot of community outreach, engagement, programming, because, you know, what better way to get people to know who you are than to do stuff?
Yeah.
And you have done a wonderful
really
job.
Stuff.
I've attended some excellent programs.
I have too.
Yeah.
Have two.
There's a lot of great programming that goes on there.
So from there, you started living a dream, kind of.
I kind of did. I do want to put one plug in for Mackay now because it's Haiku Festival.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Go and 573 haikus from all over the world.
And they're hanging in trees again?
I can't remember. I don't know exactly where they are. They're everywhere. I don't know how they could get it.
Yeah, where are they going to put them?
That's a lot.
They have a whole bunch of them in the house and a whole bunch of kids from our sister Hijemi School in Japan. So cool.
Yeah.
Definitely. April and May.
Okay.
The whole time.
Excellent.
Go check them out.
So you just get to go.
You just go.
Yeah. Oh, it's really fun.
It's really fun.
If you submitted, try to find it, right?
Yeah, right.
You can find it in 576.
Yeah. I know a couple people who submitted, and I'm going to go look for them, but you know, we'll see. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good girl.
Yeah. So great time to go right now when the garden's just starting to like pop.
Oh, so pretty. I haven't been for a couple weeks, so it's time to go.
Well, another really great point that I want to make about the garden is that it was, as far as we know, the only Japanese stroll garden that exists in the United States that was designed by a woman.
Really?
So it is incredibly unique.
And it's patterned. It's the original pattern, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it was designed by Kuni Mackay.
Right.
And built by her and the Masa, BD, and people that worked around it. And then when they redid the garden and the pond, they took out every single rock and numbered it, and they put it everything back exactly the way it was.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be kind of patterned after Kuni's, where she's from, with the mountains and the sea. It's just—it's really it's the coolest.
It's stunning. And if you look at, you know, it's nice to look at the water and to see, you know, the water lilies and the things that grow in there. But if you look at it as a composition,
It's gorgeous.
It's really striking.
It is really striking, and it was designed by a woman. So there you be.
Here. Speaking of women.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of
good
women.
Segue.
Hey,
that was a good segue, wasn't it?
Was.
How natural. I planned it that way.
Oh, good. I knew you did. You sneaky. So tell us what you're doing now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so exciting.
Yes. So for the last couple of years, I've been sort of holding a couple different things in my very tiny brain, which is raising kids. I've got three kids who are teenagers, and one's going to be up on 21. And then, you know, working in between what my responsibilities for Mukai were and then my own nonprofit, which is called Women Hold the Key.
Right.
And I started Women Hold the Key. I think it's been 5 years. It's hard for me. Mm-hmm. Time seems sort of elusive and kind of irrelevant.
It's malleable now.
It is. Well, now, certainly, yeah. Right in the last couple years.
Yeah.
So I really started it with just an amulet. And this is the amulet. Mm-hmm. It's just like a key that I designed as a way to reach out and connect with the women who were important to me in my life. Mm-hmm. To say, I see you. You matter. You're important to me. That's really the only thing that I wanted to do when I started it. And pretty quickly after that, I realized that we are all starved for community and community building, mm-hmm. or being around each other or circling up or in at a kitchen table or mm-hmm. around the campfire, mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. we want to call it. What we really want is to know each other more.
Right.
And to embed, mm-hmm. right, with the people who we live in community with.
Right.
We are such a global world now that we really can connect to people anywhere, but we really want to know the people who live in our zip code.
Yeah, and we want to make some eye contact,
yeah,
and have a little touch involved.
Yeah, we want a little bit of a connection,
right.
Especially now.
Yes.
So about a year before COVID, I did like monthly circles,
mm-hmm.
and I had anywhere between 5 and 30 women at these circles, and it was just a way for us to connect to know each other. And we did this little thing called, who are you? What do you have to offer? What do you need?
Oh,
and it was amazing the things that we helped each other
mm-hmm.
with. And it could be like anything.
Uh-huh.
It was anything and everything. And then COVID hit, and we transitioned everything to online,
mm-hmm.
which was lovely and great and also hard.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to see these women.
See people.
I wanted to be
right.
in circle.
Yeah.
And that was not possible. So,
yeah.
So last September, was it August or September, there was an opportunity that I found out about a place that was for rent, and it was where Synergy is now.
Yes.
And at that point, I had been home, working at home, trying to teach my kids. I mean, they were back in school, but I had been at home for 2.5 years,
oh.
and I, like, you know, sitting at my kitchen table, looking at my dirty dishes and the laundry, mm-hmm. and figuring, oh, I got to make dinner. And I just had enough of it.
Yeah.
I'd had it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be in my house anymore. Love my house, was over it.
Yeah.
And so I just happened, right? I just happened to talk to another friend who's like, I'm so over it too. And this place came up.
Wow.
And it fit what I was looking for. It seemed like the right thing.
Synergy?
It was very synergistic. So
yeah.
I was just like, yep, I'm going to do it. And at that point, I didn't really know if I was going to co-work. I didn't really know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that I needed a space that was outside of my house.
Mm-hmm.
And that other women probably did too.
And so what has transpired?
So Synergy was born. And so
what is Synergy?
Synergy is just a space. It
okay.
is a space behind Urban Bloom,
mm-hmm.
At the four-way corner, right across the hallway from Swiftwater Gallery, right next to or across the hallway from the Department of Licensing. So it's just
it's
pretty
right
small space. It has a couple different rooms for meetings that can happen simultaneously or gatherings,
mm-hmm.
has an office if you need to be in a place where you need to close the door and have privacy to talk mm-hmm. to your clients or whatever. And so I kind of opened it unofficially in November as a women's co-working space, but really in January kind of launched simultaneously Synergy, the co-working space,
mm-hmm.
plus Women Hold the Key's WE sessions. And the WE sessions are really a big part of the programming that we do.
As in W-E.
WE.
Yeah.
Women's Empowerment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when do these happen?
All the time.
I mean, what? Really? All the time?
Yeah.
There's no particular day or time that...
So So we started with 20 programs that were taught by local women.
Uh-huh.
And really what I did is spent the month of December reaching out and saying, ooh, I think this is an interesting topic. Oh, you know how to, you have experience in that. Mm-hmm. Will you teach that? And so I started with 20 programs in January. And the whole month of January were just free. So just come and take a mm-hmm. class.
Mm-hmm.
And they're around finance, personal development, health and wellness.
Grieving.
Absolutely. Art and creativity. Mm-hmm. All these different empowerment programs that our idea is that if we support, it's sort of like what I'm kind of like to call it is beyond basic. It's mm-hmm. beyond basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
So Synergy is not a place to have your basic needs met. You need to have those met already.
Right.
And there's great resources here on Vashon
sure.
for helping to meet those. But we're just the next step above beyond basic, mm-hmm. which is connection to oneself,
yes.
connection to community, community building and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know the data tells us when you support and empower women, their family benefits mm-hmm. and their community benefits. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case if you support and empower men.
You know, women's circles, if you will, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, are ancient as
they
the world.
They are.
And there's evidence of Neolithic women's circles.
Yes.
I was reading the other day about a women's circle in Russia that started in 1872.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a national thing now, and they call it their women's circle. And then they turn to politics, and then they turn to homemaking, and then it was just the women driving the circle.
Isn't
and
that,
what are we going to
well,
do?
I mean, that's the reality of community, is that women drive it anyway.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we do.
We do. Women yeah. are really the holders of the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
We hold a
that.
Physical key to our houses because mm-hmm. women mostly run everything.
The home.
The bills, yeah. the food. I mean, they run that.
Mm-hmm.
And this key is actually designed after a Viking key that was found in a grave of
wow.
a woman.
Oh,
of,
good.
Like a powerful woman that they assumed that these keys were for the power centers of their villages, and they were all women that ran them. So there's lots of precedents for women who are in community and are powerful. That's not the story we're told, though.
No, it isn't the story that
we're
told. No. Mm-hmm. And I know when I last went into Synergy, you said it's a small space, and I never really felt small space in there. I didn't feel restricted at all.
Oh, good.
So don't think it's like the...
No. It's about 1,000 square feet.
Yeah, it's big.
Well, that's a good size
and
space.
It's sort of like your living room, but
it's
you don't
so
have
pretty.
To do the dishes.
It's very, it's professional looking,
yeah.
and yet there's a little feminine touch, but it's not all frilly girly stuff. It's a very solid feeling
yeah. Thank
place.
You.
Yeah. I love it. And then what really intrigued me is they have a bulletin board with
All
the programs are on it. So you read about who's doing what and what they're teaching. And what I found was I'm like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, yeah. And then I could do that. Oh,
yeah.
that one sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I could go
there,
every day.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And they're all at different times on different days. And
yeah, we're trying. I mean, you know, this is a time of building.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying classes and seeing what hits, what mm-hmm. doesn't, what people are most interested in.
What are people most interested in? What have you found?
Women are definitely interested in finance and being in charge of their own financial literacy mm-hmm. and their investing.
Okay.
Right? Because that
oh,
is
good.
A way where we can become powerful and dependent.
Right.
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 Money is power in this culture.
That's right.
Yes.
So that is a really big one. Art and creativity is big because
mm-hmm.
I think that we all need art and creativity in our life.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
And we do a lot of programs or some programs around sort of how art and creativity helps your actual brain. Like
mm-hmm.
we're attaching it to the neuroscience,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, awesome. I love
that.
Well,
there's also neuroscience out there that says when you are creating, you are putting different pathways in your brain.
Absolutely.
So it encourages you to think differently about different things.
Yeah.
It's also a great hedge against depression.
Yes.
Scientifically,
yes.
the brain cannot be depressed and creative at the same time.
Well, and also brain age.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. There's a lot of artistic things we can do that help us as we, mm-hmm. as our brains age. To keep plasticity, to carve new pathways,
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the WE sessions stand for Women's Empowerment, but It also stands for African Mbuto word, which means I am because we are.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, which for me was really meaningful because it takes this idea of connecting individuals to community. Mm-hmm. And we really only, we're kind of built for community. We're not built, I mean, we're tribal.
We're very tribal.
Good or bad, and that's where we are.
Right. It's sort of become cliche now, really.
It has,
you know, because we say, I found my tribe.
Right.
Which really, you know, we did.
Yeah.
We are tribal.
Yeah, we are.
We always have been. And I think women in a circle, women with like-minded vision, mm-hmm. can actually change the energy and mm-hmm. the forward momentum that we all feel.
Right.
I feel like... sometimes I feel like men get a bad rap in that regard.
Sure.
I really do, because they're not all bad.
No.
But at the same time, there's something really beautiful, for lack of a better word, about women creating their own forward momentum, their own trajectory, or sharing with each other the ideas right. that we have. That won't work for me, but it might work for you, kind of
right.
thing.
And I think it's kind of fundamental to the way, at least in this culture, we raise boys versus girls.
Right.
And we raise boys to be independent and focused on their own personal development. Mm-hmm. And that's what has to come first. Girls are raised to focus on relationship.
And pleasing.
And relationship creates community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's more, perhaps this is sounds pejorative, but there's less ego involved mm-hmm. and more cooperation.
Absolutely.
And we know nothing important happens by yourself.
Right.
Even though we've got this mm-hmm. idea of the rugged individualist, mm-hmm. which is a lie.
Right.
It requires community. And I think when you say it's women who create community, I think mm-hmm. it's because we're kind of hardwired mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to do that as a natural way of behaving. And I started in the corporate world many, many years ago, men totally in charge.
Right.
And I was in one corporation, the only woman in management. And what I learned was that as I hired more women mm-hmm. and as I evolved in my career, the happier places were when mm-hmm. I was working with women mm-hmm. because I was heard, I was seen,
uh-huh.
and I got more ideas.
Right.
The ideas were shared, and
right.
it wasn't a competition.
Right.
I was just going to say competition. You know, mm-hmm. let's talk about competition for a minute, because I remember in the corporate world, there was a sense of competition
Absolutely.
Between women, among
of
women.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard many women say, and I may have said it myself, that I'd rather work with men.
So I think systems are set up for the white male.
Yes.
And if you don't work within that, you mm-hmm. have to become
right.
it or completely reject it.
Yeah.
And create something different. So mm-hmm. yes, I would imagine that was really, I mean, you and I were all of a certain age.
Right, right.
So for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been through, I think, that evolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, which is...
It's not quite done.
Oh, no.
Not quite done.
No.
But we're it's mm-hmm. moving, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What have you... what kinds of women are coming to you out of curiosity?
All different kinds. What I'm finding is that my median age is like 40 to 70.
Okay.
So it's mothers and matriarchs.
Yes.
It's less maidens. Mm-hmm. And I have when I talk about women hold the key, I really want to stress that I think it's important that we work intergenerationally,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that is an important sort of circle that we want to close and, you know, make sure that we are aware of it. Young women are less interested in circle time.
Mm-hmm. They'll come.
They will. Because mm-hmm. they're, I remember when I was in my 20s and I was pretty busy.
Yeah.
I was out there doing stuff. So my constituency really is, you know, mothers and matriarchs.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, matriarchs. And so... Because they're
mothers, I'm still a mother. I'm not a matriarch. I'm really just kind of deeply embedded into raising families, yeah. my family. But the matriarchs that are part of Women Hold the Key have such wisdom and strength mm-hmm. and experience. And, you know, I think that it's really important that we honor that and that we talk about our experiences.
Right. I do too.
And they have such wisdom to give us if we just listen, right?
You know, sorry.
Go ahead. And I'm thinking I love the idea of sharing generational experiences.
Oh, yes, because absolutely.
While those of us who might be crones or matriarchs mm-hmm. have a lot of wisdom and experience, mm-hmm. it really needs to be compared to what women in the mother stage and in the career stage are experiencing now.
Right.
What can we learn from what
absolutely.
You're experiencing, and what sort of foundational information
right.
can we share to make it a little easier?
Right. Yeah.
It's a very difficult proposition right now to talk about blending the generations and learning from each other, but mm-hmm. it's hard mm-hmm. to do that mm-hmm. unless you have community, unless you have mm-hmm. an older person you can trust or a younger person mm-hmm. who brings you happiness and joy instead of irritation and, oh my God, they're so dumb, right. you know, because that happens.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know I love you, young women. You know I do. Mm-hmm. But there's a thing that happens in your youth. There's a thing that happens in your elder years that doesn't happen in your youth. And I think part of it is the listening, the capability of listening to what somebody else is really saying.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're young and you're 20, you know it and you have it and you want it. And,
yeah.
you know, it's just different. We're all different.
But I have to say that I agree. Yes, but, or yes, and.
Yeah, yes, and.
When I've had young women mm-hmm. in circle, the depth and the richness.
I know.
They're so much smarter than I ever was.
They are.
Until I was 40. Like, I'm like, how do you get to be like this?
Yeah.
And so
I guess I'm
so
talking more in young women in circle together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Young women in circle with older women. Mm-hmm. Probably not so much most of the time.
I'm going to guess you might be offbeat.
You think?
Off base there.
You
yeah.
think?
I think it's the idea of the circle. Mm-hmm. There's so many contexts that we have that are brief and superficial
right.
that might make us feel as though the younger person might look at the older person and say, oh, she doesn't,
true.
And vice
mm-hmm.
versa.
Yeah.
But when you spend time together,
right.
sitting in a circle, really talking in an open and safe space, I think the exchange can be dramatic.
Okay, then I'm gonna retract what I said and mm-hmm. rethink that, because that makes perfect sense to me. I also know I have a 22-year-old granddaughter mm-hmm. and the wisdom that young woman
yep,
has in her soul already
right?
is amazing, and I can ask her questions and we can talk. Right. We've talked about everything.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's my only experience, really. With the, I haven't experienced young women in a circle, and I think I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
And see how that goes.
I think you should.
I will.
And I'll try to set that up.
Yeah,
please
set that up.
Set
I'm
that
looking
up.
Forward
I'll
to it.
I'll take care
yes.
of that. I'll put that in motion.
Yeah, that'll be good.
We're about out of time.
So what's, we know, we're just almost there. So what's in store for the future with Synergy? Where are you going with it?
I don't know. I think
that's what I thought you were going to say.
I think I'm just trying to figure out the best way for us all to have opportunity to be connected and in community. Because I just feel like when we support each other, when women are supported, great things happen.
Great thing happens.
Right? And it's as easy as someone just feeling better about themselves, or as big as actually women changing the world, because it feels like...
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you know, that can happen with a look. Mm-hmm. That can happen with the squeeze of the hand.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be a big meeting
right.
over it. In fact, Tina, this happened between you and me at the drugstore the
Absolutely,
other day.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was having a really bad day and I saw Tina and she said, what's the matter? And I said, I'm just having a day.
Uh-huh.
And she just reached her hand out and said, I hope it gets better.
Yeah.
And looked me right in the eye. And it was like, it is better now.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's all it takes is connection.
That's right.
It's
that's
connection.
Right. And there's so much in our culture that says you're not supposed to have problems. Is there something wrong with you?
Well, yeah.
And
aren't you doing well?
Certainly don't see anything yet. Yeah. How are you? I'm fine.
How are you is a loaded question as far as I'm concerned.
It is. Right?
Well, I would like to thank you so much,
Tina.
We didn't have enough time.
We never have enough time. That's the way it
is. Is there a website?
I was just going to say, let's do a website.
There is. It's womenholdthekey.com or WHTK. Women hold the key. WHTK.us.
So either one works.
Either one works.
Okay.
Yeah, they all go to the same place. Yeah. And
it's a great website.
Oh, well, thank you. It needs a lot
It's coming along.
Needs some improvement. Need some work. We're working at it. Yeah. We're taking, the board and I are taking this month to kind of reassess, re-engage, recalibrate, and hopefully come back with something better.
Well, to all our lovely listeners, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Susan, have a lovely couple of weeks.
You too, Linda and Tina.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a pleasure it's been to have you.
Thank you so much.
It's been just great, Tina.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, lots of fun.
Stay tuned to Voice of Fashion.
See you later.
You never know what's coming next.